The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Kuf Zayin, and we are in middle of the Amid, the fourth to last skinny line on daf Kuf Vav Amid Beis, continuing along at Perek HaMekabel, discussing halachos of farmers, specifically a farmer that did not own the property that he was working, but rather was a Mekabel. He had an arrangement, he leased it from a landlord, and as we've seen, whether he was a chayker or an aris, would have many different nafkaminas lahalacha. So the last Mishnah, the Mishnah Daf Kufayim Beis, discussed a farmer that took upon himself to work a field. He's going to pay a fixed amount of rent to the landlord. The rent that he's going to pay is from the produce that the field produces. And then there was a Makas Medina. The Gemara had a discussion what the definition of Makas Medina is. Roiv Ruba de Bago, Shinishtadfu, Arba Sodes, Me Arba Ruchasel. But regardless of what the definition of Makas Medina is, the Mishnah said that in the event that there was a Makas Medina, the landlord is the one that's going to lose, meaning the tenant has a right to be menakalei min chakayrei. He can deduct whatever loss he incurred from the amount of rent that he's supposed to pay. Rabbi Yehuda said that the only time that's true is if the agreement that he had with the landlord was that he was going to pay him from the produce that grows the field that he's working. Then we say if something happened to the field, not only does he lose, but the landlord is going to lose as well. But let's say the agreement was that he was going to pay him in cash, or he was going to pay him in something that doesn't grow in this field. In that case, it would make sense then that he's the one that would lose, but the landlord shouldn't lose. Meaning, if the landlord is supposed to get paid from what's in this field, then on some level he is a shutif in the field, so that if something goes bad, he's the one that's going to incur the loss. But to the extent that the rent payment has nothing to do with the actual field itself, in that case, even if there's a Makas Medina, he wouldn't be responsible to pay. Zoktigmar, who gathered the Kabbalah of the Mizra, Butumi, there was a person that was a Makabel, he was a farmer, and the agreement that he made with the landlord was that he was going to plant garlic, Aguda de Nahar Malka Saba, and this was on the bank of the Nahar Malka Saba. Bezuzi, he was going to pay him money. And something happened to the river. He was not able to work the field. Also, the Kamei Rava, he came to Rava. Amalei Rava told him, Nahar Malka Saba, loy ovid de miskar. This field usually does not go bad. The fact that something happened, Makas Medina, it's an act of God. We look at it as a Makas Medina. Zilnokile. So you have the Mishnah and Daf Kufei Amid Beis. You have a right to now start deducting from the amount of rent that you agreed to pay. Amalei Rabbanu L'Rava. So the Rabbanu told Rava, how could you paskin that way? Rava, you're a Toye B'Dvar Mishnah. Hanan Tana Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say in the Mishnah, in Kibla Heimenu B'Mois, Benkachu Benkach Enim Anakale Mechakari, that the only time the farmer has a right to deduct it from the amount is if he's paying him in the produce that grows the field that he's working. But if the agreement was to pay him money, such as in this case, the agreement was zuzi, then ain't a menakele mechakari. Amalusa, Rava said, yeah, it's true, it's a Mishnah. But who is the Tan in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda, unless the Chashal of Rabbi Yehuda. Nobody holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Another Mishnah. If somebody was mekabel sodah from his field, and the agreement was that he's going to pay him a fixed amount. Again, every Mishnah after the first two Mishnahs, Rav Papa said, is either talking about a chayker or talking about an aris. This Mishnah is clearly talking about a chayker. And what's the agreement? He's going to pay him 10 kor chitim a year. The luxa, and he had a bad year. It was a bad crop. The landlord has no choice but to accept it. And even though he would have never wanted likatchila to take this type of crop, it's too bad. That was the arrangement. He's going to be forced to take it. Yofos. What if what grew was really good? Now the tenant can't say, I don't want to give you such good chitin. I'd rather go buy chitin in the shuk and I'll give you that. No, it goes both ways. He has no choice but to give him from what grew. Says the Gemara, there was a person that was a mekabel, he was a farmer, and the agreement that he made with the landlord was that he was going to grow aspasta. That's Michael Behemo. Bekure de Sairi. How was he going to pay the landlord? Not from the aspasta that grew, but he was going to pay him soir. He was going to pay him barley. Of the aspasta, he did what he was supposed to do. He planted aspasto. The Charsha, afterwards, he plowed the field. The Zorah, and he planted again, but this time Sairi. This time he planted Sa'irim. The Laku and the Sa'irim were a bad crop. Says the Gemara, Shulchan Rav Chaviva Misurah, the Parashah Kamei Ravina. Ke'agavna Mai, so the Shailu was sent to Ravina, and the question was, what's the halacha? Meaning, could the tenant take this Sa'irim that grew, this bad Sa'irim, and give it to the landlord or not? Ki Laksa, Noisim Lamitaychadami. Do you say that it's similar to someone that took a field to plant Sa'irim, and bad Sa'irim grew, where that's the Mishnah Kofayim and Beis, he has a right to give in the bad Sa'irim. Or maybe over here it's different, because here he told him he was going to plant Aspasta. He went and he planted Sa'irim, so that even though maybe he had a right to plant Sa'irim, but that wasn't the agreement. And being that wasn't the agreement, now that he had a bad crop, maybe he doesn't have a right to give it to him. Amalei Ravina said, it's an easy Shiloh. In the case of the Mishnah, where the farmer did what he was supposed to do, so the landlord, when he gave the farmer his field, he told him, my land is going to produce Sa'irim. The farmer said, I'm going to plant Sa'irim. If something goes bad, we look at the landlord as being complicit in what went wrong. As a result, he has no choice but to incur some of the losses. But over here, the landlord told the farmer, I'm giving you a field to grow aspasta. The tenant went, the farmer, and planted Sa'irim. Now something was wrong with the Sa'irim. Who says that the landlord is responsible for that? I was responsible to give you land that was going to provide good aspasta, not good Sa'irim. He's not complicit. He doesn't have to incur any of the losses. Ahu Gavra
does well.
Ahu Gavra, the couple Pardes Mechav, somebody was Mechabel, a Pardes from his friend, the Eser Dani Chamro, and the arrangement was that he was going to pay him 10 barrels of wine. Talk about Ahu Chamro, and then the Chamro went bad. So Rav Kahana Lamei, Maas Rav Kahana thought, Hainu Mas Nisen, Loksa Noisan Lamitaycha. So Rav Kahana said, this I think is a good sushtel to the Mishnah, because over here they agreed that the payment was going to be wine, and the wine was what went bad. So why is that different than in our Mishnah, where the agreement was that I'll pay you for what grows in this field, and then what grew in the field didn't grow properly. Amalei Rav Ashi, midami, it's different. Hasamlei avda arish lichusa, hacha avda arish lichusa. In the field, again, it comes down to the point that it's the landlord's field. So if it doesn't grow properly, we look at the landlord as being complicit. As a result, he has to incur the loss. Did the landlord have anything to do with the fact that the wine went bad? What did he have to do with the wine? As a result, there's no reason he should have to suffer any losses. Maida Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi will be Maida, however, although he didn't agree with Rav Kahana's Psak. So he held that if the wine went bad, then the one that's going to suffer the loss is going to be the tenant. But Rav Ashi did hold, Be'invi Dekadum, if the agreement was that he was going to work on a field that produces anovim, and he was going to pay the landlord from the anovim. The anovim grew already, so it was a good crop. But while it was still on the vines, before it was brought into the wine press, then it went bad. Ooh, besad the shlachs of Imra, or the Imrim were lying in the field, and before you had a chance, after it grew, but before you had a chance to bring it into your house or to the storage house, it went bad. Being that it's understood that it's going to be on the vines, the grapes will for a certain period of time, and the Irim are going to be in the field for a certain period of time. If it goes bad, we do look at the landlord as being complicit. Over there, the landlord's going to have to suffer the loss. So although it's not mamish the case in the Mishnah, because in the Mishnah it didn't grow properly, and that's clearly a result of the ground, which belongs to the landlord. That's the svar that the Gemara keeps on harping on. But in this case, it's different, because it had already grown, and after it grew was when it went bad. But being that the land is supposed to be there to allow the Imrim to settle until you're ready to bring it in, and the vines are supposed to be able to maintain the Anovim until you're ready to bring it into the wine press, and it was during that period where something went wrong, we do say that the landlord has something to do with that, and as a result, he's going to have to incur some of the loss. So before we go weiter, so Mitzvah Shem, a lot of raid tonight, but before we go weiter, I just want to go back to one thing that we spoke about this morning as promised, and that is the Gemara discussed in the context of Makas Medina, a very interesting halacha. What would be if there was a farmer who was a Mekabel? He had an arrangement with the landlord, he's going to work the field, he's paying him kach v'kach, whatever the arrangement was. V'loi zara, and he decided not to plant. He was lazy. And then a makas medina came. So the halacha is that you would think that the farmer could say, listen, I taka didn't do what I was supposed to do, and as a result, nothing grew. But let's be honest, even had I done what I was supposed to do, there was a makas medina. It anyways would have been wiped out. So kedai techamina, that maybe the farmer should be able to say that I don't owe you anything. Says the Gemara, loy. The omale, the landlord has a koyachataina. What's the koyachataina? Ilu zarato. I believe, I'm taking the position that had you planted, have a Mekayim be, I would have merited that the following pasuk should be Neskayim in me. Lo yivoyshu be'esra u'bimeira avon yizbo. That sometimes Hashem performs a miracle. That even though there's a Makas Medina, it's an Esra, it's Yimeira avon, lo yivoyshu or yizbo. And I'm taking the position that maybe I would have merited such a miracle. As a result, had you planted, maybe I would have been spared. So it's the fact that you didn't plant, that's the reason that nothing grew, and that's the reason that you can't make your rent payment. That's amazing on your part. As a result, you're going to be responsible. You don't have this new tour of Makas Medina. The Gemara asked the Kasha. The Kasha was from a Maisa where there was a Roya, Shaya Roya. There was a shepherd, Viniach Edroy, and he left his flock and he went into the city to do some shopping. He comes back and he found that an Zev or an Ari came and he destroyed his flock. Says the Gemara, is the Roya Chayev or is the Roya Potter? Mar says it depends. If it was a situation where had he been there, he could have protected the flock. So it comes out he was Peshaya, he's going to be Chai. But if it was a situation where even had he been there, he couldn't have protected it, he's going to be Pot. Fake the Gemara. If you tell me that there's a new Kayach HaTayna in Bezdin, in Hilchas Toyin V'Nitin, where you could say, I believe maybe a miracle would have happened, why can't the owner of the flock tell the shepherd that Ehavis Hassam, had I been there, or had you been there, I believe that you would have been Zaycha to a miracle. The miracle that David HaMelech had when he fought the Plishtim, when he fought Goliath, which is he was able to defeat someone that was much stronger than him. Maybe the same thing would have happened to you. So the Gemara says, Elamai, you don't say such a taina. So how do you reconcile it? So the Gemara says, maybe over there it's different. Because Lu'uma Zeh, the shepherd, could always say that if a miracle was really supposed to happen, if a miracle was really supposed to happen, then it could have happened without me being there. What could have happened? The same thing happened with Reb Chanina ben Doisa, where his goats were once able to defeat bears, so that if that was the way this was supposed to play out, it would have played out whether or not I wasn't there. And being that a miracle didn't happen, as a result, it's a raya that you're not zoicha to a miracle. But maybe really, someone that we don't have a chlora umdina that is not zoicha to a miracle, maybe he should, but the Gemara says it's not a taina. Because the owner of the Eder could always say, Nehida Lenisa Rabbele Havi Chazino, Lenisa Zut Chazino. Maybe I could have been Zoicha to a smaller miracle. Maybe the miracle of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, that's already a wild miracle. That the goat itself should be able to fend off its prey, that's something that's really Shloike Derechat Teva. But if you, the shepherd, would have been there, then maybe you could have come up with a Tachbud Lenetza, a slingshot, something to be able to knock it out. That's maybe something you would have been able to do. Either way, the Gemara says, Kasha, Ibazo Yitaka, have a steer. So just two interesting ha'aras. Number one, there's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, which is interesting, where the Chassam Sofer quoted this Koyach HaTayna, where in Bezdin, a person can say that I believe that a miracle could have happened. The Tshuva's in Yerideas, Tshuva Reish Lamites. And he begins with a story. He says, Poi kilo kedosha matastof, kemat rega iridava. Something happened very quickly. Beyond Yudches Adar Sheni Ha'avar, it was Yudches Adar Sheni, Shnas Tov Kuf Samach Beis, in the year 1802. Yotza Eish, Umotza Koitzim, Bebayis Eni Yehudi. There was a fire that came out of the house of an Eni Yehudi. V'nechal Godesh V'koma V'bati Yisrael, Ruba Deminkam Yerucheva Yehudim Avinesenu Arabin. And it created a terrible sreifa in the quarters, the ghetto where the Jews lived in Matistov. V'neshtalchu L'kan Nedovis Harbin B'kilos Kedesh Shakrevis. And it was a horrible korban, and as a result, the Jews raised money. That's what they always do. And money came in from close and from far. Nedive Amalekay Avram Lesius Anezokin Ubegia Tur Chalukas Kupanal Nestapku Apkru Pekamis Fakus. So they brought the Shilas to the Chassam Sofer in terms of how exactly to distribute the money. They just raised all this money, and the question is, how exactly are you supposed to distribute it? So the Chassam Sofer says that the emes is, v'hine yodua shedvarim ke'elu yefshe b'shum oifam l'doina b'din teir mamish. Said it's impossible to be able to figure out exactly how to appropriate these funds based on the entire. It's not possible. Uke'en shekoset b'chumas adeshen, simen shim membez. Said Chumas Adeshen already said such a memra with regards to something similar. Ach, b'inyin ha'korv l'din in the Torah. He says, I'm going to come up with something similar. And then he says that he wrote a tshuva with regards to something similar. But over there, money had come in that had to be appropriated, that the money that came in was from the government. It was government funds. And says the Chasam Sofer, when it comes to halacha, you can't compare government funds to charity that you raise from your fellow brethren. And as a result, he says, you can't be madama that tshuva. I have to write a fresh tshuva to figure out how to do it. And the Chasam Sofer writes a brilliant tshuva, several pages long. At the end, he just says one thing. He has 9 sub-chapters to this tshuva. There was a woman who lived adjacent to the Beis HaKnesses in Matastarf. When they saw that the fire was going towards the shul, they wanted to try to save the shul. So what they did was they instructed to destroy the roof of the neighboring house, in a little bit of the roof of the shul itself. They felt that that would somehow spear the shul. V'Hashem hifli chazdoi al derech nes nifla shenitzel Beis HaKnesses HaKdoshah. It says the Beis HaKnesses ended up being saved. This woman came and she said, I need someone to replace my roof. Hinei pashut detrichel l'shalom lo isha hezeka. He said, that's pashut, says the Chasam Sofer, in this whole tshuva, that this woman's for sure getting her roof. So it was a complicated tshuva. But he said, that part is easy. And he says, why? The matzal atzma m'chaveri chayv l'shalom. Because it's a classic example where people are being matzal atzma, being matzal l'shul, b'mam m'chaveri, on the roof of this woman. And as a result, it's a mefurish halacha, they're going to have to pay. He says, Dadayin. He says, not just that. He says, we don't even know for sure if her house would have been damaged. So certainly, that's a reason to say that we were literally mazik her house. And he says, not just that. Even if it seemed, al piderech hateva, that her roof was for sure going to be destroyed. So based on that, you'll tell me, I wasn't really a mazik, because balav hachi hayanisrach, they would have been burnt anyway. Says the Chasam Sofer, there's a koi chataina that I learned from a sugi above a mitziah, dav kuvav, soif amir aleph, and that is, she could say that I believe Hashem would have performed the miracle. What miracle? He quotes a pasuk, Yeshaya mem gimel, ki seilech b'moyesh le'sichva u'lahava le'sivarbach. Just like in our sugi, we had this Koyachataino of Tehillim Perak Lamed Zayin. Lo yevoshu be'Israel b'meira avon yizbo'o. There's a new Koyachataino. Yeshaya talks about someone that's able to walk through fire and nothing's going to happen to him. So she could always taina that maybe that's something that would have happened to me. And v'hachinamikei, there's no reason that that shouldn't have happened. Either way, he says, based on that, he says it's poshet, they were matzal atzmei b'mam and chaveroi. It l'chura was a muchach that the roof was going to be burnt. And even if you're going to argue that it was, she could always come with a kaicha taina that maybe a miracle would have happened. And it's a taina that stands in bez. I mean, even though in Tzayim Chanal Anas and miracles don't always happen. But at the same time, in Hilchus Toyim V'nitin, I could argue, I believe a miracle would have happened. And it makes it now that this was not avuda mimenu mikol adam. It wasn't balav hachi hayin nisraf. It's not kematzel min hanar. And it's for that reason that Allah is, says the Chasam Sofer, that they would absolutely be obligated to pay. Just one other interesting order regarding this Gemara. So the Gemara was discussing the Raya. Shahaya Raya. V'niach edra yubalair. He went into the city. He came back. And it turned out that his flock were devoured by an Ari, by a Ze'ev, by a Dove. And the question is he going to be responsible or is he not going to be responsible? So the Gemara was discussing over there a Koyach HaTaina that maybe the Bala Eder could have. And what is that? He could say that I believe that maybe had you been there, Hashem would have performed the miracle. Gamas Ari, Gamas HaDove, Hika Avdecha. So the Gemara says, why isn't it a Taina? Because the shepherd could always respond back. If Hashem was going to perform a miracle, he would have performed a miracle without me. He would have done the miracle that happened to Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. Zokti Gemara, the owner of the sheep, can counter argue, and he could say, maybe I'm on the Madrega where I'm Zoicha to a little bit of a Ness, but a Groisa Ness, maybe that's something that I'm not necessarily on the Madrega to marry. Freak the Ben Yoyodo, why didn't he say better? Why did he say if Hashem really wanted to save your sheep, he would have never sent the Ari in the first place? He would have never sent the Dove in the first place. Isn't that even a better Taina? And that's not a Nes Rabba, that's a Nes Zuta. That's the easiest way out. The goat doesn't have to be able to fend off the wolf. The shepherd doesn't have to. Let it not come in the first place. Otherwise, Hashem doesn't want to perform a miracle. If Hashem really wanted to perform a miracle, why would this have happened in the first place? Isn't that a pasha, the koyach hatayna, that the shepherd should be able to argue back? Says the Ben Yoyada on this Gemara, in my opinion, a dover nifla. He says that we know that sometimes people have miracles in life. But if Hashem performs a miracle for a person, it's menakol mischuyosav. He could lose chosin from that. Yaakov Avinu said, "Kotoyinti mikol chasadim mikol emes." That he was worried that because of all the chasadim that he had from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he lost that. Says the Ben Yoyada, "Bamedvar mamurim." When is that true? That's true if no kiddush Hashem or nothing really positive comes about from this miracle. But let's say a person has a miracle and there's a gevaldik kiddush Hashem that comes about through this miracle. He says, think about it. This yid was just zoicha to be a vehicle to create a tremendous kiddush Hashem. Does it make sense that as a result of that he should be wiped out, he should be depleted from all his chosim? He says, of course it doesn't. And he says, to the contrary, not only is it not menakulei mischu yosef, but adarabba, he's going to have additional chosim because of the kiddush Hashem that was caused because of what he did. So says the Ben Yoyada, in an ironic way, if someone zoicha to a nes nigla, it's actually better than a nes nista. You would think a nes nigla, that's a greater miracle. There's more of a svar of katointi mikol hachasadu mikol ha'emes. Says Ben Yoyada, it's counterintuitive, but it's really just the opposite. Because a nes nigla, there's an element of kiddush Hashem. Because there's an element of kiddush Hashem, you were a vehicle for kiddush Hashem. You're going to be rewarded for that. You're certainly not going to lose out because of that. A nes nistar, because it's hidden, you know it was a miracle, nobody else knows, so there's no kiddush Hashem, you had a miracle, that's when you have to be worried about katoiti mikol chasad mikol emes. So said Ben Yoyada, had Hashem made a miracle that this zev that was supposed to come would have just made a left turn and never showed up, the miracle that would have occurred would have been a nes nistar. The nes nistar would have been menaka, the bala'eda mischuyosa. It's because, or if it was a nes nigla, however, in that case, he wouldn't have lost his chosin. So what does the Baal, the shepherd, want a taina to the Baal Eid? If Hashem wanted to perform a miracle, he would have done a more poshut miracle and just make the Zev never show up. You know what the Baal Eid can respond? He goes, maybe Hashem didn't want to take away my chosin. Had it been that type of miracle, I would have lost my chosin. And Hashem's been kind to me. He doesn't want me to lose out. So he's willing to perform a miracle, but only the type of miracle where I'm not going to get wiped out. And that's a good koyach hatayna. But either way, he says, you know, that's what he wanted. Never even addressed that. Because azasart moifis is not such a good moifis. A nes nista is not so good. Because a nes nista, that's when you have to worry about. Katointi mikol chasodim mikol emes. And he could say that maybe Hashem didn't want to do that. He didn't want to deplete me. Either way, we have a lot more to learn. Zok the Mishnah, mekabel sadeh mechaveroi. If somebody is mekabel sadeh mechaveroi, va'ochlo chagav, that was this morning's daf. Ha'mekabel sadeh mechaveroi, lezoreh sa'orim. And the arrangement was that he was going to plant sa'orim. Lo yizra'en o'chitim, you can't plant chitim. Chitim, yizra'en o'sa'orim, you can plant sa'orim. And the reason is, because chitim depletes the ground more so than does sa'orim. So you're affecting the landlord by planting chitin more so than soyrim. So if the arrangement was soyrim, can't plant chitin because it's going to affect the land. It's obvious, again, like Rapapa said, the Mishnah's talking either about a chayker or aris. What's this Mishnah talking about? It's talking about a chayker. Because if it's talking about an aris, it's true that chitin is going to ruin the land, but chitin is also a lot more valuable than soyrim. The landlord's going to benefit from it. To the extent that he's getting paid a fixed rent amount, so he's not benefiting from the fact that it's chitin versus soyrin. He's losing because of what's happening to the land. Therefore, if the arranger was soyrin, lo yizrin chitin, you could plant soyrin. Shimon Gamliel says, regardless, he never let it change from what the arrangement was. Tfuah, if you took a field and you agreed to plant tfuah grain, lo yizrin chitnis, no beans. Kitness is ran a tfuah. Shem Gamliel is the same idea. Amr Avchiz, my time in the Rashbag. The Chsiv, the Pasuk says, Sheyus Yisrael, Yasu Avlo, Vela Yadabru Chazov, Vela Yimotze, Bepiem, Lashain Tarmus. A Yid is supposed to be honest, he's supposed to be Erlich. And even if it maybe doesn't affect the other, it doesn't matter. A vart is a vart. Your word is supposed to be a word. I mean that this person took upon himself. He said that he's going to plant chitin. Lo yizra'en o'sayrin. He said he's going to plant tfuah, kitnis. Don't do the other one. it's not affecting him. It doesn't matter. Tanna Chumim say, if it affects you, you said Soyrim and now it's Chitin, the landlord's losing out, then you don't do it. But otherwise, who cares? You know who cares? We care. She'eris Yisrael le'yasu haflo. Either way, Frank the Gemara Meisve, is that true? Is that Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion? Does he take such a strong stance when it comes to a word is a word? Magvas Purim the Purim. If the Gabbai Tzaka raised money for Tzarchei Purim, it's supposed to be used for Purim. They medactic in the Dover. However, you don't have to be so medactic. Additionally, if you give Mois Purim to an Ani, he's not going to take the money now to buy shoelaces, Ritzua the Sandalai. Elam Kane, his number, unless the people in the city agree to it. So what is he from Shimon Gamliel? He takes a much more lenient stance. He's not worried. The only took the money for Purim, he has to only use it for Tzarchei Purim. No, if he wants to buy with it a Ritzua the Sandalai, that's also okay, even if he didn't get Rishus, Mibmai Ben Anchei O'er. So how do you reconcile that with Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah, Rabbiya? So because of this, Abaye said, "Time of Rav Shimon Gamliel kidemar." Rav Shimon Gamliel something. Yeah, it's not that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that if you switch from chitin to seorim, you're not doing any harm. But sheiris yisrael liyasa. The reason Rav Shimon Gamliel says you can't switch from chitin to seorim is the same reason you can't switch from seorim to chitin. Why can't you switch from seorim to chitin? Because you're ruining the land. Chitin to seorim, you're also ruining the land. The amar hayman the nichalei the titva are. If somebody wants to destroy his land, how do you go about it? Three easy steps. Lizari shasa chitin v'shasa sairi. 1 year plan chitin, the next year sairi. Shasa shesi, or 1 year go the shesi way, v'shasa yari. 1 year vertically, the other year horizontally. Meaning if you keep on swapping how you work your field, you're going to ruin your field. So it's for that reason that Rav Shimon Gamliel said that if you took the field for chitin, you can't plant sairin. Because this is a chitin field. If you're going to plant sairin, presumably next year he's going to go back and he's going to plant chitin. You're going to ruin the person's field. So there really is a hezek. It's not because sheiris yisrael yasu ava says, this is only true if the farmer, after he switches, he doesn't plow the field twice. Rashi says once after the ktsira, and the other time at the time he's planting this other thing that he's planting. But if he would plow the tani and chazaret, plow it again, leslamba, in that case, he doesn't have to worry about that. So a little farming 101. Tfuah la yizra eno kidnis. Masli la Rabbi Yehuda la Ravin. Tfuah yizra eno kidnis. He said it over differently, that if you took it upon yourself to plant tfuah, you're allowed to plant kidnis. Amaleva nantan tfuah la yizra eno kidnis. Amaleva, he told him, lekasha, halan vahalu. The time of our Mishnah, Mishnayis, was written there, it's Yisrael, the Tanoim. So they lived in a more mountainous region. A region where if you plant something that really you're not supposed to plant, it can really have an effect. As a result, the Mishnah said, Tfuah, lo yizra'en or kitnes. You have to be very sensitive. But v'halohu, this braisa that Rav Yehuda told Rav, and he was referring to the halachas in Bavel. In Bavel, the land was a lot more fertile. As a result, the land won't be so affected if you plant the wrong thing. So tfuah, yizra'en or kitnes. My brother Ravin. So the Gemara here is going to bring a whole bunch of different halachas that Rav Yehuda told Ravin Achi, and we're going to digress into some interesting agadata. Hani tachli the bekisna cress. It's a certain plant that grows in flax. Somebody goes and he takes it. So Reuven goes over to Shimon's flax and he rips out his cress. There's no gazel, even though cress has value, but cress does more damage to the flax than it's worth. Meaning the amount of damage that Shimon has from the crest being there is more than the value of the crest. So therefore there's no issig zeila. If however it was on the gvul, it wasn't mamish in the flax, because it doesn't really affect the flax. As a result, it's not doing so much damage, it has value, you're a gazla. Then hukshu lazera, if it already hardened, did the crest, at that point, even if it's in the flax itself, there's no yesh ben mishum gezel, my time by the afsar afsar, because any damage that it could have done, it did already. So you're not fadining any damage for Shimon by removing the crest, even though it did do damage, but my da'afsid afsid, it already happened, it's water under the bridge. So at this point, you're not let us still. My brother Ravin. Hani di li Dilach v'dilach dili. So apparently they owned fields, Rashi says, that were right next to each other. They were bar metzra. They literally were at each other's gvul. So Rabbi told Nachum that, you know, trees that seem to be mine are really yours, and what seems to be yours is really mine. Why? Because nog b'nei mitzra, because the minig when it comes to two people that share a boundary, meaning they have fields that are adjacent to each other, that ilan hanoita lekan lekan, v'hanoita lekan lekan, that how do you determine whose tree is whose? It's not based on where the tree is or where the branches are, but it's based on where the roots are. So what he told him was, is that there's a tree that's in my gvul where the roots are really on your side of the boundary and vice versa. So that's what he said. Dili, dilach, v'dilach, dili. The itmar, really, it's Makoira in a brace. Ilano imid, ala meitzar, amar rav, hanoita lekan, lekan, hanoita lekan, lekan. You look at where the roots are, and wherever the roots are, that's who the owner of the tree is. Shmuel amachokin. Shmuel says in such a case, yachloku, meisvei, ilano imid, ala meitzar, yachloku, tiofta the rav. It seemed to be a mefurisha brace like Shmuel, not like rav. Tegum shmuel, alibi the rav. So Shmuel himself came to the defense of rav, and he told him, malikol ameitzar kul. It's talking about where it's one big tamishanish, where the roots themselves are a little bit on this side, a little bit on that side. That's where the but then it's poshit. I don't even need a brisa for that. Now the chiddush is that all the fruit were hanging on to one side of the boundary. So the roots were also mished, but all the fruit were on one side. Sol kedai techamina, go basar where the fruit is. Kamash malan, you go basar the roots. Why is that a chiddush? If the rule is that you look at where the roots are, and the roots are on both sides, then it should be yachloiku. So the Gemara, no. Ma'al de tema, I would have thought the amalei ploig hachi. Meaning, I understand that halacha is yachloiku. How do you divide it? So rather than just divide it randomly or 50-50, maybe divide it, make the division based on who has the majority of the fruits that he should somehow get a disproportionate amount of the yachloiku? So to Gemara, I hear it sounds like one way to do it, but kamashmon d'amalei ma'ichaz the polgas hachi play hachi. It takes to do it that way. As a result, the loch is going to be yachloiku. Amalei Rav Yehuda l'Ravin bar Nachmin Ravin hachi leitiz benari desmichel mas. A person should not buy property that's next to the city. Meaning property that people are going to see. Dom Rabbeva Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Asalei Lo Adam Sheyamad Al Stei Chaveiroi B'Shoshay Medes B'Kam Eseha. Because Rav said that it's usher for a person to stand inside his friend's field at the time that it's Medes B'Kam Eseha, when the Tfu is growing. And the reason is because he's going to cause an Ein Hara, and there's going to be a Hezek. It's what we know as Hezek Ria. It's one of the first sugyas in Masechtas Bava Basra. So from the fact that there's an Isser to stand in your friend's field, B'shashay Medes B'kam Eseha, so you see that your friend has an ability to damage your field with an evil eye. It's for that reason, just some good advice, Rav and Achi, like Tiz Ben Ari, just try to stay away from the field. You want to do something, do it outside of people's eyes. Eini, Freit the Gemara, is that true? Rabbi Abba Talmid the Rav. Rabbi Abba once met Rav's Talmid. We told him, "My Amar Rav, tell me, what did your Rabbi Rav say?" Bahani Kroy, Baruchat Ba'ir, Baruchat Ba'Sade, Baruchat Be'Vayecha, Hu Baruchat Be'Seisecha. So these pesukim on Parshas Kisavai, Parshas Kisavai, you have the Teichecha, but you also have the Brachas. So in the Brachas over there, that if the Yidden are going to do what they're supposed to do, they'll be Baruch, Baruchat Ba'ir, Baruchat Ba'Sade, Baruchat Be'Vayecha, Baruchat Be'Seisecha. They told him, "Okay, Amar Rav, tell you what Rav said. Baruchat Ba'ir, Shei Beischa Samach Be'Sakneses." You should try to live close to a Beis HaKnesses. Baruch Ata Basode, Sheyu Nichosecho Kroivim Lo'ir. This is of Birchas Ha'irach fame. So your Nichosim should be Kroivim Lo'ir. Baruch Ata B'Vayecho, Shalei Timotzei Ishtecho, Safik Nida B'Shas B'Yoschem Anaderech. You should merit that if you come home from a trip, you shouldn't find your wife to be a Safik Nida, so that it'll be Mutter to be Meshamish. Rashi says, V'Koshke Nida, other Vadai. Others argue. Others say maybe Safik Nida is worse. Because Vadai Nida, so you're sort of Masiach Das from it. Safik Nida, you're a little, but either way, Baruch Ata B'Tzeisecho, Sheyehu Tzeitzoi Meyecha Gemaisi, you should be Zeichi, you should have children that are going to be like you. So before we ask the Kasha, V'amadu Rabbi Yechon Lema Hachi. So Rabbi Abba heard what this Talmud said over the name of Rab, the way he taished this Pesukim, he said, I want you to know Rabbi Yechon doesn't hold like you. Elo, what does Rabbi Yechon hold? Baruch Ata B'Yehu Sheyehe Be'Sakise Samach HaShulchanel. That your Be'Sakise should be next to your table. Avo Beis HaKnesses Loi, but not your Beis HaKnesses. Meaning you're saying over that your Rebbe Rav said, Baruch Ata Ba'ir, that your Beis HaKnesset should be Samach LeBeis Echo. Rabbi Yechon said, Punkfaker, your Beis HaKnesset shouldn't be. And Rabbi Yechon the time is, Rabbi Yechon LeShitasid, I'm a Schar Psiyos Yesh. Because we want you to have Schar Alicha, it should be a little difficult for you to get to Shul. Because you should have Schar Alicha. Baruch Ata Basad, had Rabbi Yechon Taich, Baruch Ata Basad, Ishi, and Nechasecha Mishulasha. You should diversify your portfolio of Nechasim. Shlish Betvua, Shlish Bezesim, Vishlish Big fanim. Baruch atah b'vayecha, u'baruch atah b'tzeisecha, shetei yitziyoschem in ha'olam k'biyoscha. Right? Yechon teached it as one, that you should be zeicha, that when you leave this world, you should be the way you are when you enter this world. Ma b'yoscha lo'olam b'leichet, just when we enter the world, it was b'leichet, ap yitziyoschem in ha'olam, v'loi chet. Either way, what do we want from all this? We want that the Gemara says, you see, Baruch Atah Basadesh, you nechasecha, k'roivim li'ir. That's the way Rav teach. It's a kash on what we just said, that it's better, Rav Yehuda told Ravin, Ravin, Ochi, Loitaz ben Ara, the Smicha Lamasa. Zok the Gemara, Pash, the Teretz, like Kasha, Hadam Hadale, Shura Veraska, Hadam Hadale, Shura Veraska. Depends. If you're going to be able to put a fence around your field so people won't see it, there won't be an Ayin Hara, yeah, then it's better for you to be Kroivim Loir. But if you're not going to be able to protect it, you have to be worried about the Ayin Hara, that's where Faker, that's where Rav Yehuda told Ravin, it's better just to stay away from people's eyes like this. You're not going to run into any Ayin Hara issues. Just a little bit of raid regarding these psukim that the Gemara quoted. Baruch Atah Ba'ir, Baruch Atah Basada, Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. So the Gemara said that Baruch Atah Ba'ir, said Rav, Sheyehei Beischa Samuch LeBeis HaKnesses. So in the Ben Yoyada, he says that what's this Maila of living close to a Beis HaKnesses? So he says that the Pshad is based on the Gemara Masechtas Brachos, Daf Chesam and Aleph. The Gemara says that they told Amar Leila Rabbi Yochanan, Ikosabi beBavel. They're old men living in Bavel. Meaning there are people that are living to an old, ripe age in Bavel. The Gemara says, Tama. He was very taken aback. Omar, he said, "L'man yirbu yumeichem v'yumei b'neichem alu adomaksev." Aval b'chutz la'aretz lo. Kivin amrei, when they told him mikadmi mechashel b'nei knishta, that they wake up early and they go to shul and they stay up late like tonight and they're in shul. Omar, he said, "Haynu da'hanu luhu." Now I understand. K'dam Rabbi Shua ben Levi l'bnei k'dimu v'chashichu va'aylu l'bnei kishto k'heichu deturchu chai. Because if you're going to do that, you're going to be zoicha to live long. Now, incidentally, what in the world does going to Beis HaKnesses have to do with Arichas Yomim? So we spoke this out once upon a time. The Mashal says the Dov Nifla. He says he believes the Pshat is based on a Gemara Masechtas Megillah Daf Chav Tes. Asidim bati kneses bati midrashos shebabavel sheyikvu beretz Yisrael. That when a Yid is in a Beis HaKnesses, a Yid is in a Beis HaMedrash, it's as if he's in Eretz Yisrael, based on the idea that asidim bati kneses bati midrashos v'kavu beretz Yisrael. So Yoichan couldn't understand. L'man yirbu yemeichem. It's an Eretz Yisrael that a person is supposed to be zeichot Arichas Yomim. But Arichas Yomim in Bavel, Lo'iroyinu v'lo'i shamanu. See, but when he heard that, they're learning in Beis Medrash, he says, yes, Vashdeich. They're living in Eretz Yisrael, even though physically they're in Bavel. But they're in Bati Knesis and Bati Midrashos that are ascendantly called Eretz Yisrael. It's considered Eretz Yisrael for that reason, that they're being zeichot even in Bavel to be in Eretz Yisrael. But either way, says the Ben Yoyada, you see that people that come early to Beis Medrash, they leave late. These people are zoicha to Arichas Yomim, this gevaldige bracha. So he says, that's the Baruch Atah Ba'ir. That's exactly what Rav was saying. That if you live close to the Beis Knesses, you'll be able to roll out of bed, come right into shul, you'll be from the Asar Rishonim. Not just that, you'll be zoicha to be from the first ones there, based on this Gemara right here. Ben Yada Taiches, you'll be from the early ones. The Kadmisu, not just you wake up early, but you're from the first ones. You're going to open the door, you'll turn on the lights, you'll make the coffee. It's a gevaldige schus. It's a schus for Arichas Yomim. And that's why he said, you'll be able to be zoicha to this. I'll tell you one other interesting Ben Yehoyada, a Dover Nifla on this Gemara right here. He says, interesting Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan heard that they're old men in Bavel. Tama, he was like very taken aback. And they explained it to him. The Nir Lefarish Pesiyat Deshmai. Listen to this. The Tam Shegidu Chidr Zeh Shal Azikna Rabbi Yochanan Dafka. He says, it's based on the Gemara earlier in Masechtas Brachas. We know Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 sons. And he used to keep the bone of his 10th son, and he'd be mechazik people. He would tell them, Dein gerama dasira bir, says the Ben Yehoyada, that after Rabbi Yochanan's 10th son died, he had one son left. This is the rest of the story. There was an 11th son. His name was Rav Masna. It's the Rav Masna that's mentioned throughout Shas. Rabbi Yochanan didn't want Rav Masna to be in Eretz Yisrael because he was afraid that the mazel of Eretz Yisrael, where he lived, wasn't good. He had lost 10 sons. So he sent him to Shmuel to go learn by the Amora Shmuel in Bavel. He felt, Meshana Mokem, Meshana Mazel, maybe he won't get fachapt with this magefa that happened to his children. He's going to live. But he was a little bit worried about it. The reason he was worried is because at the end of the day, L'man yirbu yumeichem v'nei v'neichem alo adamakset. So he's sending his son, his one child that survived, to live in Bavel by Shmuel. Why? Als Mishana Mokka, Mishana Mazel. But does it really make sense? At the end of the day, Adarabba, Ein Arichas Yomim Ela Beretz Yisrael. D'lman Yirbu Yimeichem Alu Adom Aksiv. So they came and they told him, Rabbi Yochanan, Hatz Nishmoira, Ikasabi B'Bavel. He said, Katoma, it doesn't make any sense. They explained it to him, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Nicham Tani, he already felt good over the fact that his son Rav Nachman, but in a way, a Dover Nifla from the Ben Yoyada, that's why he was Dafka Rabbi Yochanan. It's because of this 11th son related to this Maaser Rav Masna. Either way, that's the first Ara on this. Another Ara. The Gemara said, Baruch Ata B'Vayecha, Baruch Ata B'Tzeisecha. Had Rabbi Yochanan Taich, Shetei Yitziyoscha Min Ha'olam Tibi Yoscha La'olam. Ma B'Yoscha La'olam B'Lechet, Af Yitziyoscha Min Ha'olam B'Lechet. So a few things. Number one, the Rashash says on this Gemara, that this Gemara, he believes, is a little bit of a tshuva to the people that believe in Gilgulim. Because if a person, when he's born, is considered to be a Gilgul, is he really entering the world b'lo chet? He's coming with a balance sheet, a cheshbin that could be thousands of years old. So how could you say that ma b'yoscha lo'inu b'lo chet, ap yitziyoscha lo'inu b'lo chet? So he says it's a tshuva, it's a ktsas, I think his lashon is, taina on the people that believe in Gilgul, because l'chayra, if people are Gilgulim, how do you have a right to say that they're entering the world b'lo chet? But I'm going to tell you two beautiful things that I saw in the ksav sefer. The ksav sefer says, now what's this cheshbin of ma b'yoscha lo'inu b'lo chet, af yitziyoscha min ha'olam b'lo chet? So he says as follows. He says that we know the Gemara says in Masechtas Eruvin, Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, that for 2.5 years there was a debate between the Talmidim of Shammai and the Talmidim of Hillel. Shtei shanim u'mechza nechliku b'shamim b'shil. Halalu oimrim noyach loy la'adam shloy niver yoysim mishanivra. V'alalu oimrim noyach loy la'adam shanivra yoysim mishaloy niver. They were arguing, would it have been better for a person to never have been born? Or is it better that we're born and we have the opportunity to do mitzvahs? Says the Gemara, Nimnu v'gamru, noyach lo adam shloi nivra, yoysem mishenivra. Itaka would have been better not to be born. But achshav shenivra yifashvish b'maisav, v'amilon, some say yimashvish b'maisav. Incidentally, the Masha, in his Chedushi Agada, says, what's pshat in this Gemara? Noyach lo adam shenivra, mishloi nivra, noyach lo adam shloi nivra, mishenivra. What's the shayla over there? So he says, they were sitting down, and they were doing a cost-benefit analysis. On the one hand, because of the fact that we're born, we have Torah mitzvahs, we have an opportunity to be Mekayim mitzvahs aseh. Meaning, had we not been born, there would have been no way for us to be Mekayim mitzvah. But at the same time, because of the fact that we're alive, we also have an opportunity to do aveiros. Had we not been born, we for sure would have observed the lois aseh, meaning there would have been no way for us to be over the lois aseh. So essentially, us coming onto this world was a risky proposition. We have upside. The upside is we could be kind of mitzvah aseh. The downside is we could be over lois aseh. It would have been a lot safer to never have been born. We wouldn't have the upside of being Mekayim the Aseh, but then again, we also don't have the downside of being over the Lois Aseh. So which is better? That was the Shaila. Is it better to roll the dice, take the risk for the upside at the expense of maybe losing? Or maybe no. Maybe the safe play is the way to go about it. Not to have the downside, right? Or you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Exactly. So which would have been better? Zokta Marsha, Adover Niflos. You know what they did? Nibnu V'gamru. They sat down and they counted. There's 613 mitzvahs. Remach Essen. And Shasa Lavin, this 248 mitzvahs asay, this 365 lois asay. What's your upside? 248. What's your downside? 365. So Nivnu v'gamru, they counted and they said, Nu noyach leiladim shalai nivra. It would have been better not to be born. Aba v'achshav shenivra, not that we were born. Yefashvish v'maisav, v'amrila yemashvish v'maisav. It's an excerpt of a very long piece in the Marsha. In Chidush Yagod, it's an end of Masechtas Makis on the Gemara, Darush Rapsim Loi, Tariyak mitzvahs, Torah Tziva lanu Moshe, Neichav l'yil, but either way, so it comes out that really it would have been better for a person not to be born. We make the best of it. When, however, is it better that we're born? A person dies and he leaves the world at tzaddik. That this person, Taka, was someone that should have been born. So Zokta, that's Pshat in the Gemara. You know when it's Baruch Atah B'Vayecha? When it's Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. A person that's Zoicha to Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, now we could say, oh, for him, Taka, he should have been in this world. It was Baruch Atah B'Vayecha. Because until we see the Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, it's not Baruch Atah B'Vayecha. Baruch Atah B'Vayecha would imply that it's a good thing, Shenivra. Really, it's to the contrary. Really, it's Noach Leiladim Shalai Nivra. When is it Baruch Atah B'Vayecha? When it's Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. Then the Ksav Sofer says another Pshat. He says, Oid Nirali, Noach HaPshat. He says that the emes is, we say, in benching. He brings from the Hafla. V'racham and v'chayim v'sholim v'chol toiv. It's a little bit redundant. And then again, so he brings from the Afla, who was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer's father. So he says, "V'svasayim yishak," quoting the Chassam Sofer, that a person that gets toiv from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes it could come at the expense of hatava that he's supposed to get in the world to come. So that's what we say. We should be zeichet kol toiv. Oh, but umi kol tov, all the toiv that I'm supposed to get in Olam Haba, ayichasreino. I don't want it to come on that expense. It shouldn't be katoin to mikol hachasadim, umi kol emes. So we're telling Hashem, give us good, umi kol tov. This is the second shot in benching that we had in 1 week. We spoke out from Tzadik HaKoyin. Why the first brach of benching, hazonis ha'olam, is belosh and nistar. Hazonim, the third person. The second brach is noyto l'cha, you're talking directly to Hashem. We spoke about Tzadik HaKoyin, that who was masakin the first bracha of benching? Moshe Rabbeinu. After they got the man, he was masakin Baruch Hazan. Who was masakin the second bracha of benching? Yeshua Benu, when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav Tzadik, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was much greater than Yeshua Benu, but Moshe Rabbeinu lived in Chutz Laaretz. Yeshua Benu lived in Eretz Yisrael. The relationship that Moshe Rabbeinu had to Hashem wasn't the same as Yeshua. Yeshua ben Nun can talk to Hashem b'loshen noichach. Noida lecha, al shen chalta, al shayt yisanu, al teiroscha chalimadet tanu. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't talk that way. Moshe Rabbeinu, as great as he was, Moshe was the shemesh to Yeshua being the Levana. But he was a chutz laretz. And outside of Eretz Yisrael, the relationship is different. But Tzadik said, that's why, upanai le'yiro, every yid, shalosh pavim mashani yiro, kol schurcha, k'derek shebaliris, kach baliris. But Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't see. He says, yeah, afilu the pashat the yid could be zoicha to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was a chutz laretz. A chutz laretz you limit. Anyway, another pshat. V'racham and v'chayim v'shalom v'chol toif. What's to me called toif? But it shouldn't come at the expense of everything that I'm supposed to get. Either way, says the Ksav Sofer, that's the bracha. The bracha is Baruch Atah B'Vayecha. You're going to be gebenched in this world. And Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. We call Tov Leilam Ayichasreino. You don't have to be worried that B'Tzeisecha, when you leave this world, you're going to come up to Shemayim and they're going to say, I already gave you all your schar, Ba'ilam Hazeh, you're not going to have anything left. It'll be Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, but it's still going to be Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. And just one other ha'ara on Baruch Atah B'Vayecha and Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. So the Gemara said that Rav, again, we had Rav's beer in the Psukim, and we had Rav Yochanan's beer in the Psukim. Rav said, what's Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha? Sheyehu Tzetzoe Meyecha Kamoyscha. That your children are going to be like Zokt Dehelo Gechida. He says, what's the Pshat? He says, the Pshat is Pashat. He says, Efsher, the Masha Pirish Agoy Rabbi Cheskalanda. That's the Noida B'Yehuda. The Masha Amru. The Gemara says, Mishen Meniach Ben Kamoyscha. Someone that's Zoicha to leave over a son that's like him, like never by Misa. He never dies. So he says, what's the pshat? He says, the pshat is because really a person does die. But if he leaves over a child, that's hilich bidrachov. He's his protege, so to speak. He follows in his footsteps. So everything that he does, is all a schus for the father. So he never died. When a person dies, he loses his ability to accomplish hayom lasoisam ulamachar lekabel schar. But someone that's meniach ben kamoisa, even lamachar he's doing, because through his son he's constantly doing, he's constantly accomplishing. That's going to be his schar. So zoch techidah baruch ata b'tzeisecha. How could you say baruch ata b'tzeisecha? We know the Vilna Gaon, right before he was nifty, picked up his sister, started crying. He said that as long as I was in this world with something so simple as wearing a baggage of dalut kanfis with tzitzis, I could be zoicha to netzach nitzachim. He says, now I'm going to leave this world. I don't have an opportunity to accomplish anymore. It's over. Yofa kairis ruach mi'elam hazeh mikol anoyis elam haba, because you can accomplish so much in elam hazeh. So how could you say baruch at? It doesn't matter who you are. The Vilna Gaon cried when he died. Why? Because it was baruch at, because he realized what he was losing out. V'azeh kemen zogam baruch at b'tzeisach. You know what the answer is? You tzetzoy me'echa k'moyischa. If you zoicha to have children that are like you, then it's baruch at, but then you don't have to be afraid of death. Because there's a hemshuch. It's not like, oh, now you died, it's over. There's no if you to continue to accomplish. And I don't think it's only tzetzah, but anything that a person does that is mashpia on other people, the hashbah lives on, and through that, you taka can say baruch ata b'tzeisach, because it's not over. The curtain didn't necessarily drop. You can continue to perform, you can continue to accomplish. Either way, a little more Gemara. Zokta Gemara, v'heisra Hashem imcha kol chayli. So we're talking about ayin hara. So says the Gemara, the pasuk says that Hashem is going to remove kol chayli. Amar Rav zu ayin. It's referring to ayin hara. That ayin hara is the source of kol chayli. Rav letame, this is Rav l'shitas, Rav Solo Gebe Kivri. Rav once went to a Beisak forest. Avad my da avad. He did what he did. We do what we do. Omar, he said, Tishin v'tisha ba'ayin ra. 99 out of 100. He said 99% of the people that are in this Beisak forest died because of an ayin hara. The echot, only one b'derech eretz. It's not a natural cause of death. Shmuel Omar, Shmuel said zeharuach. Shmuel was a doctor. Shmuel said that the hisra Hashem imcha kol chayli, people die from winds. There are winds that cause people to die. Shmuel l'tameh. Shmuel's also l'tameh. Damash Shmuel hakol beruach. Everyone dies because of a ruach. Feit the Gemara. Everyone lives. Shmuel eker aruge machos. What about someone that's beheaded? What about someone like that? Hanachnami lav zik avdi leisam v'chay. He said if not for the winds, it'd be a way to somehow give him a refuah. Rav Chanina Omar zuatzina. That what's the it means the cold. According to Rav Chanina, it's not a taichin kol chayli. Not everyone dies because of cold. According to Rav, everyone's ayin hara. He said 99% is ayin hara. Shmuel said everyone dies because of a ruach. Rav Chanina has a different taichin of the pasuk. That is Hashem imchak kol chayli. That even tzino Hashem is going to protect you from. And why is that a chiddush? Damar Rav Chanina, kol b'deishu ayin chos b'sida b'achem. Everything comes from Hashem. The only type of macha that we have bechira to bring upon ourselves is tzino b'achem. If you go out in the cold, you get sick. That's your fault. And that's the pasuk. Even that's going to be removed. It's referring to tzoya. Tzoya that's in a person's nose. Tzoya is ha'oizen. Ruben kasha. Too much is not good. A little bit of it is good. Incidentally, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that a person shouldn't touch tzoya ha'oizen and tzoya ha'chaitim while he davens. Meaning it's considered like touching something you're not supposed to touch. You have to wash your hands, wipe your hands. The makar is this gemara. It comes from Maril. Maril said, you see that the gemara referred to it as tzoya. If the gemara referred to it as tzoya, so zereshava tzoya tzoya, meaning it's considered a tzoya. Rabbi Lazar said that what's kol chayli? The Yisra Hashem kol kol chayli, it's referring to the gallbladder. Tanya nami hochi, machla zu mara. V'lamini kreshma machla shi machala kol gufay chaladim. Because it can literally bring machlas to the entire guf of a person. Lavaracha, machla sheshmoinim v'shloisha chalom kluyim b'mara. There are 83 different sicknesses that are related to the gallbladder, which is the gematria of the word machla. That's why machla zumara. V'kulon, but all 83 of these sicknesses, pashachris b'mel. If a person eats a little bit of bread in the morning, v'kiten shalmayim, you have your Wheaties in the morning, v'vatlasan, it can make it all go away. So as terrible as it is, but a good, hearty breakfast is the protection. Tanu Rabbanan. On that note, Yud Gimel Torah Nemar Pashachris. There are 13 things said regarding Pashachris. Matzalas Menachava Menatzino, or protects a person from the heat and from the cold. Umenazikin, umin hamazikin, from winds and from mazikin. Umachimas pesi, it can make even fools intelligent. Vezoicha bedin. Lil my Torah, ulalamid, v'dvarv nishmoyim, v'talmud miskayim biyadi, he's going to remember his Torah. V'imsura malehevla, doesn't schwitz too much. V'niskak le'ishtoi, he'll be niskak l'ishtoi. He won't have a taiva for an isha acheres. But he reges kina shemei ayin. It's going to kill any kina that's inside his intestines. So it's unbelievable the koyach of pas shachris. Discussion of the place of what is pas shachris. So it means you have to wash, you have to eat bread, whole wheat bread. What does it mean exactly, Pashachas? So some say it's pas, it's bread. Others say pas abba kisnin, mazoinas, that would be enough. I saw B'Shem, the Ishel Avram, the true Cheruv. He said, Akav ezoichet Pashachas. As long as you eat something, you don't fast, you give yourself a little bit of strength in the morning, that's Pashachas. Amalei Rabba the Rav Bar Mori. You know, I'm Milsa Lamri Inchi. Shita Rehiti Rahot, 60 people can run. Vele Mata Legabi the Masafra Karach. He won't be able to chase someone. So if 60 people are running after this guy, they can't get him. Why not? Because he ate Pashachas. Vam Rabba no, and Hashkin the Echo Pekait, and Nechav, and Kerb Neatsino. It's good, wake up early in the morning and eat. In the summer, to protect yourself from the sun. In the winter, where does it come from? So, Amalei. So, Rabba Bamari told Rabba, it comes from the following pasuk. Dichsiv lo yirava v'lo yitzmo. They won't be hungry, they won't be thirsty, meaning they're going to eat and drink. V'lo yakim shar v'shemesh. As a result, they won't have to worry about shar v'shemesh. V'lo yakim shar v'shemesh, kibit lo yirava v'lo yitzmo. Amalei, Amalei, mehasim, you said that's the makar. V'ano amin alecha mehacha. I have a different makar. The pasuk says, V'avadetem as Hashem alekechem. That's referring to Kriyishma. What's that referring to? Zupas b'melach v'kitan shalmayim mikan ve'elach. If a person follows those things, v'asiroisi machla v'kirbecho. So you see a pasuk that if somebody eats pas b'melach v'kitan shalmayim, it's a skula for the person to be protected from sicknesses and from other horrible things. So this last Gemara that we just learned was actually a Gemara that we had, so I was going to say not so long ago, but it's actually longer than I thought, Bava Kama Daf Tzadik Beis Amid Beis, a few months ago. And then we spoke out some raid regarding the Pasuk that the Gemara is quoting. We spoke out something from the Chidah, from the Pirish Yoinesen, Ayin Shom, but Ein Beis Medrash B'Loi Chiddush. So the Gemara quoted a Pasuk. The Pasuk is in Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav He. V'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem. Uveirach eslach mecha, ve'esmei mecha, v'asiroisi machla b'kirbecha. So v'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem means you're going to serve Hashem. The Gemara says, "Ukriish ma betfilo, uveirach eslach mecha, v'esmei mecha, pashachris, v'asiroisi machla mikirbecha, loisia mishak." If you go right to the next pasuk, is loisia mishakela v'akor baritzecha. There aren't going to be any akor koros es mispar yomecha amale. So again, ein besmenjus b'lo chiddush. I saw the Chidah brings b'shem his father, that his father Taich, the pasuk as follows. He says, we know that there are four people that are chashuv kemes. Who are the arba that are chashuv kemes? An ani, suma, a mitzayra, and a misha in loibana. Says the pasuk, v'avadetem as Hashem alekeichem, that if you're going to serve Hashem, uveirach eslach mecha v'esmei mecha, you're not going to be an ani. You're going to have bracha in your lechem and in your mayim. V'asiroisi machla mikirbecha. You're not going to be a suma, you're not going to be a chayla, and you're not going to be a mitzayra either. A mitzayra is a chayla, but I think also maybe mikirbecha. You're not going to be a baded yeshev. And finally, see a mishakela v'akar b'artzecha. You're not going to be an ein loibonim. You're going to be zoicha to have children as well. So v'avadetem as Hashem alekeichem, you're going to be zoicha not to have to worry about the four things that make a person chashuv lemeis, and that's the punchline, the end of the pasuk. Es mispa yamecha amale. Zok techida. What's es mispa yamecha amale? I read it to you inside. Vim zochiso lazeh. Oz es mispa yamecha amale ki ayomim karvu ve'yosun enigra. Wrong pasuk. What's the Let's mispa yamecha amale shetikra chai v'loy meis b'chayim. You're going to be considered chai. You're not going to be considered dead while you're alive. Meaning the brach is you're going to be zoichot. We've spoken this out before. Gezunt, parnosa, naches. We said maybe mitzayr shalom bayish. He's also patash v'shamita. But either way, that's the schos. It's going to be uverich eslach mecha v'esmei mecha. That's parnosa. V'asiroisi macha b'kirvecha. That's gezunt. And loisia mishakel of akar barzecha, that's naches. You're going to be zeicha to all of this. And if you have all that, es mispa yamecha amale. You're going to live a rich life. It's not going to be a life where you're alive, but you're chashuv kemes. You're going to be a chai. You're going to be chashuv kechai. It's going to be es mispa yamecha amale. So I was thinking to shtel tzu that we spoke this out at the siyam in David Weiss's house. The Gemara says that kol ha, somebody is mava sedra. And something that you find very often, that someone that does certain things, and it's a skula for arichas yomim and arichas shama. Kol amarich be'echad, marichim lo yomim v'shnois v'zok de ben yoyada. It's a mesechtes brachas after you give them a medveis. What's arichas yomim and arichas shama? What are these two things? Marichim lo yomav and marichim lo shnois v'zok de ben yoyada. Chad be'echos v'chad be'kamos. Arichas shama means you're going to live long. You're going to live till 120. That's arichas shama. What's arichas yomim? Your life itself is going to be rich. You're not going to cruise through life. But you're going to be accomplishing. Every day you're going to be living. Kedabai. It's going to be arichas yomim. Be'echos. It's mamish the nekud over here. Isn't that the pasuk? Es mispa yomecha amale. What's es mispa yomecha amale? Zok techidah in the name of his father. You're going to be zoicho, not just to be alive. That's not the bracha. But the bracha is that you're not going to be chashuv kemes. You're going to have gezunt. You're going to have parnasa. You're going to have nachas. You're going to have everything that everybody davens for. What's that? Es mispa yomecha amale. Not just arichos shonim, but arichos yomim, because that's the taitch of arichos yomim. Arichos yomim is be'echos. So that the mispa hayomim amale, you're going to have full, rich days. You'll be zoicha to live a very fulfilling life. Obviously, what a beautiful bracha. I was thinking, this week's parsha, you have Vayikravu Yemei Yisrael, almost right in the beginning of the parsha. Vayichi Yaakov, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Shvas Reishana, Vayichi Yemei Yaakov, Shnei Chayev, Vayikravu Yemei Yisrael, almost. Interesting lashon. Vayikravu Yemei Yisrael, almost. Vayikravu Shnei Yisrael, almost. Why Yemei? Okay, maybe he was coming down to days. It was the final days of his life. Vayikravu Yemei Yisrael, almost. But I was thinking, Rashi brings in the beginning of the parasha, Davarachar, Lama Parshas Ustuma, Shabikesh Legales Esakes Labanov, Vinista Mimeno. Yaakov, at the end of his life, was already, he was losing some of the koiches that he had. Yaakov lived a very rich, fulfilling life. Yaakov, the Bechira of us. But already it was Nistamu, my Mimenu, Bikish Legalos Akeitz. He lost the capacity to do certain things. It was Vayikravu Yemei Yisrael almost. That Darichos Yomim, the rich, fulfilled life, is something he didn't have. He realized already, now is the time of Dafkibin Abracha to the kinder. We'll stop here.